What's up and welcome to the Badass is the New Skinny podcast. I'm Sabrina, and as a certified personal trainer and health coach, I'm here to help you live your best and most badass life. This space is for all the hot messes out there who are tired of feeling out of control, stuck, frustrated, and not at home in their own body. We'll focus on mindset, attitude, and habits surrounding sleep, stress management, nutrition, and movement so that you're showing up for your whole self. Badass isn't a look, it's an attitude. It's an energy. So wherever you're at, settle in and get comfy. Let's do this. Hey friends, welcome back to Badass is the New Skinny. I've got a little bit of a different conversation for you today, and I'm going to preface it with a disclaimer that I'm not an expert on any of this. I just did some Googling and I have strong feelings about the topic and I wanted to talk about it. I say this because I don't want you to take what I say during this episode as gospel. I do, however, want you to use this as a jumping off point for you to think more critically, practice curiosity, and foster a healthy level of skepticism. So what the fuck am I talking about? Allow me to explain. A while ago, I was chatting with one of my best friends, Kim, who is also in the health and wellness world. You've heard me talk about her on this podcast before. She and her brother run Functional Fitness Solutions, and I'll link to their website and their socials in the show notes for you. I encourage you to go check it out. Anyway, Kim and I were talking, and for the life of me, I don't remember how this came up, but I had made the comment that it's not in the government's best interest for people to be unhealthy. Kim jumped in with a, well, actually, argument that I couldn't deny, which brought up some of the influence of Big Pharma and the incredible profit and influence that comes from that industry. For some context, in my world, in my day job, there are a ton of conversations about community health and how, collectively, sickness costs people more, and it's in our community's best interests to have a healthier community. Makes sense, right? Caring for people who are sick is expensive. It's expensive for health insurers. It's expensive for companies offering health plans to their employees. It's expensive for government programs. And it's especially expensive for individuals and families. So when I say it's not in the government's best interest to keep people sick, it's more like it's not in communities, employers, and community members' best interests that people are sick. So, right idea, wrong entities. But when you inject pharmaceutical companies, lobbyists, power-hungry government officials, and corporate greed, it becomes a very different conversation. And it's this perspective that Kim brought up that was sort of like, well, actually, keeping people sick or unhealthy is actually very profitable. Now, this isn't a new argument, right? I'm certainly far from the first person to come out and talk about how greedy, power-hungry people and corporations are influencing public policies, beliefs, and practices in order to keep lining their own pockets. I'm going to try to not talk about this too much because it's just genuinely one of those things that makes me so ridiculously angry. It's also not a new argument when you think about it from the perspective of the food industry and propaganda that's masked as a public health initiative when, in reality, it's a money grab. Kind of like the transition from the food pyramid to my plate, which, side note, is something I want to talk more about at a later time because it's fascinating to me. So don't worry, there is a podcast episode coming all about that. But I digress. Before I go any further, I want to say a little bit about why I think this is worth talking about. If you've listened to the last few episodes and you've been listening to Badass is the New Skinny for a while, then you've heard me talk about how this journey to being a healthy, happy badass is a roller coaster and that there are a lot of reasons for this. I tend to focus on the big life changes that are just a standard part of being a human. Moving, starting a new job, getting married, getting divorced, experiencing loss, coping with natural disasters, all kinds of things. But something that I don't talk about enough is how heavy of influence there is from other areas of our lives that have nothing to do with the changes that we experience. And I don't talk about these things as much in large part because that's not my expertise. What I'm talking about here are things like social influence, trauma, mental health conditions, cultural expectations, social determinants of health, and so on. Now, aside from not being an expert or otherwise trained or educated in these areas, one of the reasons I tend not to go into these topics is because I very intentionally focus on empowering people to take control of their choices, health, well-being, and lives. Where some of these other topics come into play, I encourage people to work with mental health care providers or other qualified professionals. And in encouraging them to do that, I'm hoping that the message empowers them to get the help they need to achieve their goals. I say all of this to acknowledge that while each individual can do their level best to be healthy and well, there are a lot of things at play that are heavily influenced by other factors. And it's in some of these other areas where individuals are vulnerable and thus susceptible to being taken advantage of by sources who stand to gain something by keeping them unwell. It's really easy to pick on pharmaceutical companies in this example because, well, they're notoriously shady and make buco bucks from marketing expensive prescription medications and targeting vulnerable people. Not only vulnerable, but ignorant. And I've said this once, and I will say it again, ignorant is not the same as stupid, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. Being ignorant simply means that you don't know any better. You lack the knowledge or awareness. We all have our areas of topics of conversations or issues that we are ignorant about simply because we just don't know anything about it, and that's fine. We're not supposed to know everything about everything. So let me give you an example. Let's say that you go in for your annual well visit. These are good things because you and your doctor can identify potential health issues early on and get ahead of things before they're big health problems. But now let's say you go to your doctor and your doctor says that your blood pressure is high and they're going to put you on medication to help you bring your blood pressure back into normal ranges. Sounds pretty innocent and even common, right? Except you know what's missing from this exchange? Any reference to how a healthy lifestyle may help you achieve the same goal. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that making healthy lifestyle changes will solve every health problem or even all high blood pressure concerns. Health is too complex for statements like that. But where's that conversation? How often do doctors provide lifestyle changes as options for addressing certain conditions? And how often do they do that before offering a medication? And to be clear, I'm not talking about when a doctor just tells someone to lose weight or blames health conditions on being overweight. That's an entirely different thing, and it's extremely problematic. Some doctors are going to provide these options and talk with you about lifestyle changes that you can try before offering to prescribe medication. That's great. It might not be enough in the long run, depending on the health issue, but it's a really good first step and could potentially keep you from being reliant on medication for the rest of your life. What I also want to mention here is that it's not really in medical providers' training to really dive into lifestyle habits and behaviors that can reduce risks for diseases, and they're not given any in-depth nutrition education to be able to advise eating behaviors and nutrition as an alternative. That's why there are registered dietitians and health coaches and other support teams to help with that. The problem is that it leaves it up to you to be a savvy patient and understand what questions to ask and what resources to seek out. That was a lot of words to say that doctors are more likely to prescribe you medication than they are to encourage lifestyle changes. And oftentimes, medications are prescribed for long-term unless it's for an acute or short-term condition or illness. When prescription medications enter the conversation, that's when the greed comes out to play. I did a little bit of exploring on this topic and I learned some things that are really troubling. I'll keep this part relatively short, and I've linked to some additional resources in the show notes. To give you a taste of what I'm talking about, though, here is an excerpt from an article on combatthepatentprices.com. Quote, "There are multiple reasons as to how the pharmaceutical industry is able to hold this much influence over the government. The relationship between these two are rooted in ways that create revenue for both groups, and by doing this, it is creating an imbalance of power. Big Pharma is able to hold leverage over the government through patents, lobbying, and advertisements," end quote. It goes on to say, quote, "Lobbying is fundamental for the industry, so much so that in the 20 years, over $3 billion have been spent on ensuring that legislation is drafted in favor of Big Pharma," end quote. What it all boils down to is that while there are some government entities hard at work to help create healthier communities, there's a bigger force made up of both government and private industries that are profiting big time off of people who remain unwell. But have no fear, if you're one of those who is adamant that you don't want to be reliant on prescription medication, guess what? There are seemingly endless resources to help you live a healthier life. And that industry, my friends, is also raking in the dough while you're trying to improve your overall wellness. In fact, according to the Global Wellness Institute, the wellness industry is a $5.6 trillion industry, all of which is playing on your insecurities to give you quick fixes or otherwise keep you engaged in some sort of long-term solution. And I say all of which as if it's all evil and all of that. It's not. Nothing is ever that black and white, but just go with me on this, okay? We're going for the dramatic effect here. So, again, maybe not all of it is doing that, but you get the idea. Wellness is, again, incredibly profitable. Now, you might be thinking, okay, Sabrina, but that industry is to help us be well as opposed to big pharma trying to keep us sick and reliant on their outrageously expensive medication. There's some truth to that, but think about it this way. How much money are you spending on what we'll call disposable health and wellness products? The things that you have to continually invest in. It's not just a one and done thing. Think about things like supplements, athletic wear, gym memberships, and health and wellness subscription services. When you look at your budget, how much money do you spend to help you achieve a health or wellness goal, even if that goal is maintenance? Side note, I don't actually know anyone who is at a maintenance level because the wellness industry is sort of built on this idea of ongoing improvement. Are you strong enough, fast enough, skinny enough, happy enough? No? Well, good news, there's a program for that, a product for that, and so on. And yes, I am very painfully aware that I am part of this $5.6 trillion industry, and I've talked about all of this to some extent before. But I guess at this point, what I really want is for my audience to be savvy about how they're engaging with health and wellness products and services. It's why I promote feeling like a badass, because you know what? If your version of feeling like a badass is making your bed every morning and taking your dog for a walk while you drink plain old tap water and occasionally eat a bacon cheeseburger and a side of fries, there's nothing wrong with that. It's hard, though, to resist the noise and messages that this isn't enough and you need to be taking this supplement and wearing this athletic wear product and buy the subscription service and this piece of equipment and blah, blah, blah. I'm a little sensitive about all of this because being trapped in this state of not feeling like you're good enough is a really shitty place to be. And unfortunately, there aren't a lot of advocates out there who are helping people find a way to actually feel good inside and out who don't also have their hand out in anticipation of how much money you're willing to shill out over an extended period of time so that you can feel good enough. Basically, what I'm saying is that there are people out there getting rich as fuck off of people who are sick and or who believe they need to do an incredible amount more to be healthy. To go back to this whole hypocritical part of me, here's the thing. I love working with people to help them feel better and achieve their goals. I love helping people in a way that's not just feeding into some arbitrary idea of what they think will help them feel better. What happens with this sometimes is we set these goals for something that we think will make us happy, achieve that goal, and don't feel any better. It's discouraging and it's an ugly cycle. It happens though when we don't spend the time to really ask ourselves how our lives will be different when we achieve our goal. But because I love working with people and helping them achieve their goals, I started this podcast. I would love for coaching to be a part of my professional identity. Because this is a crowded space with a lot of contradicting information, and it's loud and it's confusing, and so many people would benefit from having someone in their corner who truly has their best interests at heart. Like everyone else, though, I need to make a living. That's hard to do when I feel like health and wellness coaching should be a free service to people. It's why I've never succeeded with business models that focus on pricing and insist that if people really need it, they'll pay for it. It's not that I don't recognize my value and what I have to offer. It's that when the pricing model is set intentionally high, we as an industry and as a society make healthy living inaccessible to a lot of people. And I would argue that the people who can't afford it probably need it the most. I want to pause for a moment to acknowledge that the wellness industry really does attract a lot of big-hearted people with good intentions who really do just want to help others feel better and live a healthier life. It's just unfortunate that there are also a lot of people who are in this industry simply because it's such a profitable place to be. So what I want to leave you with today is a mini mission. Your mission is to take some time to think about what you think you need for your health and wellness and why you think you need it. Who said you needed it? What was the source? What kinds of options did this source provide? How much money are they asking for? Now imagine you've achieved whatever goal it was you wanted to achieve. How would your life be different? Would it really be better? And in what ways? Why or why not? Try and put yourself in that situation and imagine what the day-to-day looks like. If you're on prescription medications, are those medications necessary? Or would lifestyle changes eventually eliminate the need for those medications? Side note, if the answer to this is that you need those medications, that's totally fine. Not everything can be addressed through lifestyle changes, and always talk to your doctor before discontinuing any medication. As somebody who is going to be on a medication for a chronic condition for the rest of her life, I understand that sometimes that's just the way of it, and you do what you gotta do, so no shame. I just wanted to raise the question because sometimes it's just not necessary to be on these medications, but we're on them because the conversations with our doctors haven't happened, and that's what I want to encourage you to do, is to have those conversations. I want you to take some time to think about your health and wellness goals and really decide if achieving those goals is really going to help you achieve whatever it is you're ultimately trying to achieve. Or did you get caught up in the flash? Or were you just inundated with enough of the messaging that you believe something needs to be different? I think it's important that we all, on occasion, take some time to step back from ourselves and evaluate what we think we want from an outside or more distanced perspective. This is hard, and it might be worth talking with someone you trust to get some of that perspective. But given that we're living in an increasingly expensive world and being pitched all kinds of bullshit that we just don't really need, it's important to try and take an objective look at our health and wellness goals and where we're putting our money and see if things are really lining up. At the end of the day, it's your money. If you're satisfied with your choices and you feel in control of your own perspective and not that you're being manipulated by puppet masters, that's fucking fantastic. Chase the goals you want, spend your money however you choose, and define badass however makes the most sense to you. My only objective for you is that you approach all of this with eyes wide open and make informed decisions. I do believe that big changes are needed in government, corporations, and the health and wellness industry. But I also understand that the underlying issues aren't changing anytime soon, and the best course of action is to be an empowered, curious consumer. Before I get all wound up about this again and babble at you saying the same things in different ways, I'm just going to wrap this up. I hope today's topic sparked some curiosity and got you thinking a bit about your goals and how you're engaging with the health and wellness industry. Please feel free to reach out with any questions that come up for you, or that if there's anything that you would like me to explore further on Badass is the New Skinny. In the meantime, please go do something that brings you joy and makes you smile, and I will catch up with you next time. Later, my friends. Thanks so much for joining me for another episode of the Badass is the New Skinny podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please share it with a friend or loved one so that we can grow this badass community. If you have ideas, questions, or your own badass story that you'd like to share, hit me up on Instagram at @badassisthenewskinny or check out the Badass is the New Skinny Facebook group. I appreciate you being here, my friends. Now make today awesome.